translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The seven elements of the body, namely the thin layer on the skin itself, the flesh, blood, fat, marrow, and bone, are all made of earth, water, and fire, whereas the life breath is produced by the sky, water, and air. Purport. The construction of the whole material world is prominently made by three elements, namely earth, water, and fire. But the living force is produced by sky, air, and water. So water is a common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. And it should be noted herewith that due to necessity, water, being most prominent in the material creation, is the principal element of all the five. The material body is thus an embodiment of the five elements, and the gross manifestation is perceived because of three, namely earth, water, and fire. Sensations of touch are perceived due to the thin layer on the skin, and bone is as good as hard stone. The breathing air of life is produced of sky, air, and water, and therefore open air, regular bath, and ample space in which to live are favorable for healthy vitality. Fresh produce from the earth, like grains and vegetables, as well as fresh water and heat, is good for the upkeep of the gross body. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tams Jivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, so before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here and also online, and the blessings of the previous Acharyas and the future Acharyas, and mainly the senior devotees who are here present, especially Shamsunda Prabhusya, Ananta Prabhusya, and Ananta Prabhusya, and Tirthakara Prabhu is here at the back. And we have Jagatpriya Mataji, Ashtasakhi Mataji, Hare Krishna, Premamayi Mataji, and many others. So online, I'd like to seek your blessings. I feel quite humbled and slightly embarrassed as well to be here in this great lineup. The whole week has been, you know, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and then Mahatma Prabhu, and then there's Vaisheshika Prabhu again, and then there's Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and then there's me, and I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, I try to wiggle out of it. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Anyway, it didn't work. Here I am. So I was thinking, what shall I do? And I was feeling quite humble. So usually I don't feel humble. I'm like, hey, let's give class. But I was feeling quite humble. So ultimately I thought, maybe it's because I'm advancing and maybe I'm a senior devotee now, so it's okay. No, that's not what I was thinking. But I was reading certain books. I used to read really basic things, and most of my preaching is very basic. So I used to read simple books, and I remember Keshav Maharaj told me once, he goes, you know, stop faffing about in class, you got to get, you know, deeper into the teachings. So I thought, okay, I should do that. So I've been reading Sarath Darshini. That's a good book to start, isn't it, to get deep, from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I found something interesting, which gave me a bit of inspiration. It's pretty cool. Okay, so this is how it goes. So this is in Canto 10, of course, chapter 1, verse 16 in the purport. Okay, he writes, what does he write? When you hear Krishna Katha, okay, this is exactly how it goes. It is purifying to the speaker, the inquirer, and the listener, and in that order. So the one who speaks is purified the most. The one who inquires comes next. And one who listens comes next. So I'm here for my own purification. I'm doing this for selfish reasons after all. But Hare Krishna. So this is a very interesting verse here. It speaks about the different elements of creation. This is a chapter in which the whole creation is discussed, from Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, how all the elements come into being and how everything is created. Okay, that's as far as we got. And we're talking about different elements in this chapter. And one of the first thoughts that came to my mind when I was going through the summary of this chapter was that we don't really appreciate Mahavishnu that much, isn't it? He's a good guy. He's doing a lot of stuff out there. You know, he's creating the whole universe. This universe is coming out of him. And I feel like we should have a bit more gratitude towards Mahavishnu, because if it wasn't for him, then we wouldn't be here. None of this creation would be there for us to exploit and enjoy. That's what we think anyway. So that was the first thought. But coming back to the purport, there are five elements that make up this creation. Five sort of gross elements and three subtle elements. We won't worry about the subtle elements today because it's not in this verse. We'll leave it for later. But the five elements are, does anyone know which are the five elements? Fire, water, earth, air, and sky. Yes, those are the five elements. And apart from that, there's also the mind, intelligence, and the ego. Now, if you look at the five elements, they also go from like very sort of gross, well, let's say physical. I don't like to say gross because it sounds like gross. So more physical elements to more subtle. And these elements are very important because they are very much connected to our senses and how we perceive things, because certain elements hold certain characteristics that transmit certain sense perceptions. Like, for example, the five senses we have which are created to experience these sense perceptions are eyes, right? Which we see form. So we can see form through the eyes. Then ears help us hear. Nose is for smelling. Tongue is for tasting. Touch is how we feel things. Now, the element earth, okay, can transmit all five of them, can hold all five of them. So earth has form. Okay, it transmits sound, smell, earth has a smell, taste as well, you get an earthy taste, and touch, you can. So now the next little bit more subtle element is water. So can you tell me which of these five does water not have? It keeps going down by one notch each time. So what of these five things does water not have? Water has taste. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. Smell, that's right. You can't smell water because water doesn't have smell. The next more subtle as you go down is fire. So what does fire not have of these five? Taste, that's right. You can't taste fire. If you try to taste fire, it may not be very palatable. Okay. What about air? What does air not have? Form, yes. So air doesn't have form. Air is very, it moves around and stuff. And what about... And so ether, you just left with sound, so it conducts sound. Ether is also known as sky in some places. It's empty space, but it's not really empty. That emptiness is also part of the creation that is made. So those are the different elements. And It is said, Prabhupada talks about it here in this verse, that out of all the elements, water is the most common, and water is also the most most important. It is the principal element of all the five elements, and is the most important thing. And we see that water has a very special place. Water has a very special place of all these five. And I think even modern science sees that, that how when they're looking for life, they're always looking for water. Water's the first thing to look. If you can find water, then you can find life. And that's why water is very, very important for sustenance that is mentioned here. Now, what's very interesting is that these five elements, because they form creation, they exist outside of us, and they also exist inside of us. Okay, so it's the same five elements. It's just the body is created from these elements which are around us, and then when we die, the body is again dispersed into these different elements. Very interestingly, even the three subtle elements, the mind, intelligence, and ego, are present within us, but they're also present outside of us. So all eight elements, so there is a universal mind, intelligence, ego, and then just like the five other elements, there's also the mind, intelligence, ego, and they come together to create the human body, which is all of these eight elements. And when we die, it all gets mixed. I won't talk about the mind and intelligence so much. Akhandadi Prabhu, if you know him, he created this Atma paradigm. And once all the brahmacharis were invited to Buckland Hall, and we stayed there for 4 days on an intensive Atma paradigm course, and he talks about it, how mind is also like a universal thing. It's just one of the elements, like the other elements, so it's present everywhere. And, you know, when I read this verse, Star Wars actually made sense to me. Because, you know, they always say in Star Wars, may the force be with you. I was like, what force? Like, what force are they talking about? Like, Air Force? But when I read this, it's like, you know, how they control different elements with the mind, because the mind's inside and the mind's outside. And if the force is with you, then you can control things with your mind. Anyway, that's my little realization on Star Wars. But the point is that all these elements are outside of us and inside of us. What that means to me, one of the things is that we should look after the environment. One of the things. We're getting to the spiritual bit in a second. But I think it's just as important because, you know, humans are the only animals or creatures that destroy the very habitat that they live in. Okay, no other creature, if you watch any number of documentaries on National Geographic or Discovery Channel or wherever, you won't see any creature that destroys the habitat it lives in. But we do. We ruin the earth, okay, we destroy the air, you know, environment, everything. But interestingly, these are the same elements that are within us. So if the air is polluted, we're breathing in this air, and that comes within you and that becomes part of you. Okay, if you're polluting the earth, if you pollute the environment, ultimately these are the things you're absorbing and they become you. And hence nowadays we've created many, many new diseases. But we're somehow not making the link that where are all these things coming from, cancer. And there's so many things we've come up with, but our body is being polluted by these elements because these elements are outside and we're polluting them. Okay, and then they come within you when we consume things. Prabhupada talks about this as well in this verse. And he said, that's how food works. You know, when you eat something, like Prabhupada talks about earth. Okay, so you're eating food. And through vegetables and fruits, Prabhupada says, fresh produce from the earth like grains and vegetables. Okay, so we eat grains, we eat vegetables. So that is how you're consuming earth. You're consuming earth like that. You're consuming air by breathing. Then there's water. We drink water, but interestingly, Prabhupada mentions here that one of the things that is important is taking regular bath. Okay, because water's inside of us, water's outside of us. So taking bath is one of the things that purifies the body because of that. So water is also important. And another thing Prabhupada mentions very interestingly is that ether, sky. Okay, that is also important to us, and that is why he says we need ample space to live. You need space, isn't it? I was thinking about this. Maybe that's why people get claustrophobic. Maybe they get claustrophobic because there's an imbalance of ether within the body. Okay, because you need space. That's why people are always buying bigger houses, bigger cars, bigger buildings, because we need space. Because it's ether, it's the sky, and it's within us as well. So Prabhupada talks about these three necessities: ample space, taking bath, and drinking water. Okay, and there's a few other things as well. But this is how we consume things. What intrigues me sometimes is we had a plant. Okay, so when we moved into this house a couple of years ago, we had a plant. So it's called a money plant. Apparently, it brings money. I'm not sure if it works, but the plant's definitely growing. The money's not growing yet. So this plant, and it had like about 6 leaves on it. Okay, we kept watering it. We haven't done anything else. Okay, just water. We haven't even changed the soil. And if I look into it today, it's the same amount of soil that was there 3 years ago. But the plant, you won't believe it. If you don't believe it, come to my house. You're welcome. I'll feed you as well. But the plant is now about 15 feet long. And it's all bushy, and we didn't know what to do with it. So we started putting it up against the wall like a garland. So it's like going all the way across. And it's like 15 feet. It has over, I don't know, 300-400 leaves. We started with 4 leaves. It's the same amount of soil. Okay? So where did all this volume come from? How did it just grow? All I'm doing is giving water once or twice a week. Okay, once a week maybe. And somehow this plant has the intelligence, or you know, the mechanism of how it works. It's consumed the air, it's consumed the water, and it's taking something from the soil. I'm not sure quite what, because the soil's the same amount of soil, but it's grown massive, like literally 25 times its original length. So you can see how they consume things and we grow. With us, we understand, okay, we put things in our mouth, we eat, so we grow. But it's not just the food you eat, it's even the water that you take bath in. It's the space you're living in. It's because all these elements are basically your body's recycling between these elements. So it makes sense for us to look after the environment, because that's what we're consuming. And we as devotees sometimes don't think about this so much. We think, okay, let's chant Hare Krishna, everything will be okay. But which is okay, which is not a problem. You can do that. But for the future generations, I think what could become a necessity is, where do we get water from 100 years later? Where do we get food from? This earth, soil is not livable. The way we do industry farming, you know, over 200-300 years ago, when industrial farming was started with all those huge machines, and it scrapes off the topsoil. I'm not an expert on this. I've just watched a documentary on Disney Plus, but basically it scrapes off all the topsoil. And topsoil is important to grow. So one of the things we worried about 100 years down the line is all the, you know, energy is going to run out, as in oil and gas, global warming, temperatures going high, sea levels are going to rise. What we're not thinking about is all the topsoil is going down. And in the past couple of 100 years, we've been farming industrially, which is why, to feed animals so we can eat them, is we've reduced about 30% of the topsoil. And it's said that we only got enough topsoil for another 60 years. So 60 harvests. And after that, you won't have soil left to grow vegetables. Nobody thinks about that. Where are you going to grow vegetables? You're going to hit rock bottom, literally. Rock bottom. Like that. So the thing is, if we don't look after the environment, we get into trouble. Okay. So that's an important thing of being conscious, because everything's related here, you see. Now the body is a machine, as we see, which is made of these elements. And it's very easy to see when you think like this. It's literally a machine. If your leg breaks, okay, you lose a leg, you have to amputate a leg, you can put a mechanical part, and it works. I was speaking to Subhash Prabhu the other day. He had a hip replacement, and, you know, so he's got a metal hip and stuff like that. I know another friend as well who's got a hip. And I asked him, like, well, how's it going? He goes, yeah, it's better than the original. He goes, much better. I wish I had this long time ago. I wish I, you know, got it changed even before I had problems, because it works much better than the original. So you can see, you can literally change the body. You can put mechanical parts in it and it'll still work. You know, all the droids in Star Wars and stuff, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. Star Wars is very Vedic. I remember I know, I'll come back. About 5-6 years ago, Yogeshwar Prabhu was here. Yogeshwar Prabhu, you know, who wrote that book, Swami in a Strange Land. And he did a whole presentation here, I remember, I was there, on Star Wars and the Ramayana, and how they're very much linked, and all the concepts of the of Star Wars come from the Ramayana. So he made a presentation. It was quite good. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. The body is made of all these different elements, and it's there. All these eight elements are there. Now, nature is under the control of the super soul. The soul can't really animate things. It is a super soul that gets things moving, and the soul is only there to, you know, make its desires. And the super soul, because Krishna says that everything is under my direction, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. He says that I am in charge of all of this material creation. So we as spirit soul don't have the potency to move nature around, or even to move our body around. Our body is also moving because of the presence of the soul. Yes, you're the one making this, but actually the body is moving because of the super soul. Okay, because that's made of nature. It's a machine. Okay, the soul is only there to make its desires, and the super soul makes things possible. And if you ever been to a funeral, you'll notice how when the body burns, everything mixes with the elements. Everything is recycled. Maybe not in this country so much. Okay, you go into a box. I was just at a funeral yesterday, but there's the incinerator. The body goes in. You don't see anything. But in India, you do see everything. Sometimes things you don't want to see. You see a lot of things. Basically, someone dies, funeral's done on the same day. If you can make it, good luck. If you can't, it's still done on the same day. You don't even bother with a post-mortem. You just bribe the police. You get a certificate in 2 hours. Literally, where my parents live in Surat, in India, there's a main road, and the road has three things. Okay. So there is a hospital, there is an ISKCON temple, and then just 100 meters down the road is a crematorium. So all three. So if you get sick, first you try the hospital. Okay, if it works, great. If it doesn't work, then you try the temple. Okay, if it doesn't work, you go straight to the crematorium. Okay, 1, 2, 3. It's a whole cycle. You can literally do the whole cycle in a day. Okay, and that's what people do. And it's on the bank of a river. The river Tapi, so from the crematorium, the ashes go in as well. So the elements merge into the elements, but it's very interesting how we focus a lot on the body, but not on the soul, even though the body just merges everywhere. Now, looking after the body, I was thinking, is a very balancing act. It's a very balancing act, because we don't want to neglect it, because it is important in service. It is a tool for self-realization, but at the same time, it's not the most important thing, and you can't compromise spiritual principles on the basis of looking after the body. Okay? Now, I'll give you an example, again, from the book I've been reading. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioning something very interesting. Okay, so this is where, you know, Maharaj is smiling, so he's happy I'm quoting some Shastra here, not just talking about Star Wars. So there's a chapter in which the very first chapter where Kamsa is ready to kill Devaki because he's afraid of his future death. So Vasudeva is making a lot of arguments about why he shouldn't kill Devaki. One of the arguments he makes is this. It's very interesting. He says, look, you want to kill Devaki because you think that your future happiness will be hampered because this child's going to kill you. Actually, he says, if the child's going to kill you, it's better to let him kill you. Because if your happiness doesn't change because you have a certain amount of karma, so this is the argument, you have a certain amount of karma which you're going to suffer or enjoy. If by nature's desire, if by the Lord's desire you die, your happiness will carry on in your next life. Okay? So there's no need to worry. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gauranitai ki jai. So he says, So don't do anything stupid. Okay, don't do anything stupid. He says, let the child be born. You enjoy in the meantime. Let the child be born and let him kill you. And your happiness will carry on in your next life, whatever you deserve. But if you kill a woman, if you kill anybody, if you kill a woman, if you kill Devaki, what are you doing? You're going to get bad karma, which is actually going to increase your suffering in the future. You see the point? He's saying it's going to increase your suffering. You think that killing a woman is going to stop your suffering, but no, it's actually going to increase your suffering because it'll come to you in the future. Instead, better to just do what you're doing and just die, and then in your next life it'll carry on. So sometimes, the point I'm trying to make is health is important, but at the same time, our spiritual principles are also very important to upkeep. Now, I've come across statements where Prabhupada did say that it's health, sadhana and service in that order. So health is very, very important. Now, my take on that is, everybody has their take on it. My take on that is, yes, it's very important, but Prabhupada said health, sadhana and service. He didn't say health or sadhana or service. So it doesn't stop at health. Okay, you don't go, okay, I'll do the first and then let's see how it goes. If I got time, I'll do the others. It's not really like that. It's like you look after your health so you can do your sadhana and hence you carry on with service. So all three need to happen. Okay, but the first two are there to facilitate the third. So health is important, but it's not the most important, but it's definitely a prerequisite. But don't stop there, okay? So move on. So health is important. Happiness is also important. But at the same time, our spiritual practice and spiritual principles are also very, very important. Ultimately, the body is there to facilitate our spiritual practice. Because otherwise, what is it? It's a machine, like we saw. It's different elements that merges into all these different elements. We feel certain things, we experience certain things, but then at some point, it's all over. So you have a short amount of time in which you can, now that you're here, you can capitalize and you can focus more and put more endeavor into your spiritual life. And it's up to you. It's up to you how much effort you put in. Sometimes suffering will come, but it's okay. Let it come, because whatever is due to you will come anyway. Like that. Another thing that I came across very interestingly is an example that is again given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on changing bodies, how your bodies change. And I found this very interesting as well. So here is the example, this is what he writes, okay? Just as a person traveling on the road, okay, rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other. Or as a worm on a vegetable, you see this worm, this squiggly wiggly worms. Worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one. In the same way, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. So it's interesting how you get your next body first before you leave this body. Just like when you're walking, you plant one foot firmly. It's very interesting what's being said. By the time you die, you already created your next body. It's already there. It's not that, you know, you die and then, you know, the Yamadutas have a council and, you know, like the Brahmachari Council. Sorry, I'm not comparing the Brahmachari Council with the Yamadutas, but I'm just saying, like, it's not that the Yamadutas have a council and they sit down and they decide, like, all right, well, where shall we put this guy, you know? Should we put him here? Should we put him there? Okay, what shall we do with him? So it's not like that. You decided the body based on your desire and your actions in this life, and it's already ready for you. Whether it's physically manifest or not is another story, but the place where you're going to be, the body, type of body you're going to have, what actions you're going to do, which place you're going to be born, all that is literally ready. And it's all ready before you even die. It'll be interesting to find out. So we're not making the choice. Yes, to some degree we're making the choice at the time of death, but to another degree we're making choice every day. So as we make a choice in this life, the choice you make today adds a little bit to the creation of your next body. So every day you're making a choice, every day you're making a decision, everything that you do when nobody's looking, everything that you do when, you know, to serve, to preach, or everything that you do to enjoy, whatever it is that you're doing, you're slowly, slowly, slowly molding your next body. And by the time you go through, you know, 10, 20, 40, 50, 60, 80 years, however long you live, you're slowly, slowly creating that body. And by the time you get to your last breath, it's created, it's ready. And then you die. And then it's just a matter of moving on to the next body. It said here, this is, I'm not making this up, it said your next body is created before. Okay, it's ready for you. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because we're talking all about the body and the elements of the body, how the elements are created, what is the role of creation within that, what is our role with those elements, and we have, as we've seen, multiple different things. So in conclusion, the body is made up of physical elements and subtle elements, and when we die, the body merges into these physical elements. We move on to another destination. While we have the body, we look after it so we can practice Krishna consciousness and we make spiritual progress. Looking after the body is good, but the main thing is to make spiritual progress in this world. Health is important, but it's not everything. Health is necessary to make spiritual progress. Your choices that you're making every day are very important because they are going to decide where you go next. Not just at the time of death, but what you're doing now. Every day you're creating your next body. So you might as well put the effort to create a spiritual body. And if you do that, by the time you leave your body, it'll be ready. Your spiritual body's waiting for you. And then when you leave, then you go there. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. We have 5 minutes and we can take some questions. Oh no. Yes, Maharaj, please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radha Govinda Prabhu. Very wonderful class, actually, how you weaved so many things in and made it so practical and really expanded on the purport. Thank you. Something you said is something I've been thinking about recently, so I was wondering if you could say more on it. You mentioned this point about health, sadhana, service. And you said health is so you can do your sadhana, and sadhana is so you can do your service. And you said the first two are facilitating service. So I was just wondering if you could say something about how sadhana in and of itself is a service. Because oftentimes when we think of sadhana, we think of it as something that we do for ourselves so that we can then do service. But, you know, obviously we know shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, these are items of devotional service as well.
Yeah.
So can you say something about how sadhana is a preparation for service, of course, but how do we do our sadhana in such a way that it is a service for Krishna? It is a service to Krishna. And when do you know that your sadhana is a service or is being done as a service?
Thank you. Now, the thing is, so it's a very good question. I think sadhana and service are same, but they're also different. And that's why they've been mentioned differently. My understanding is that sadhana is something that you do to grow in Krishna consciousness. It's something that helps you advance. If you advance enough, it can also be an inspiration to other people. Like, for example, we read about Gaur Kishordas Babaji. He wasn't much of a preacher, but he was a great preacher at the same time because his sadhana was strong. He performed so many austerities, he advanced so much in Krishna consciousness. When you read a book about Gaur Kishordas Babaji, you want to be more serious in your Krishna consciousness. So that is a service. You can do amazing service by practicing sadhana. I think the difference between the two is that service is when you actively do something for others, and sadhana is when you're actively doing something for helping you progress in Krishna consciousness, but it does have an effect on others as well at the same time. So, I see your point. Sadhana is a service, to grow, ultimately the greatest service is to go back to Godhead. Shivaram Maharaj also, I asked him a question once on his podcast, and he mentioned, I can't remember what the question was, but his answer was something along the lines of, no, I remember what my question was. Like when we go back to Godhead, it said we become like Krishna with four arms and, you know, spiritual body. So then what's the difference between us and Krishna when you become like Krishna? Okay, that was my question, arrogant question. And he said, well, you do become full, you become like Krishna, but you can only be as full as you can be, he said. Like you're a cup of water. Right now maybe you're half a cup. Okay, your spiritual things are adding up. When you go back to Godhead, you're a full cup, but you can't become greater than a cup. Okay, I think when we want to share Krishna consciousness, we need to be satisfied first. And hence sadhana is there to satisfy our spiritual needs. It's for our spiritual growth. And with that, you can give. So my understanding is that sadhana and service go hand in hand. They are connected. I'm not sure if they're the same. Service is when you actively do something to preach, to where your active focus is outside. And sadhana is when your active focus is inside. It can be service, so it's same and different at the same time. I don't know if that was the answer. I know you specifically wanted me to speak about sadhana as service, but I don't know, maybe Anantanitai Prabhu and then Vishwambhu Prabhu can shed a bit more light on that matter.
I just wanted to say that my understanding was that your sadhana should have a goal.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just something that happened quite a few years ago. I wanted to chant and have an effect on people.
Okay.
And that was the goal of my sadhana. And it took a year, and then it happened.
How did it happen?
Okay.
No, I'm just curious to know, like, how did it have an effect on people?
So I was chanting a lot of rounds for a whole year. Okay. And I had a japa coach.
Okay.
So Sharupa would sit next to me, and any time I was mispronouncing or missing, he'd chastise me. And because he wasn't doing it, because he had my benefit, it didn't bother me, it was fine. So I was taking it constructively because I knew he wanted me to do this because I told him what I wanted to do. So anyway, so it was the Glastonbury Festival, and the previous year it was a washout and I didn't want to go again. But I went because my Guru Maharaj was at the festival, Mahavishnu Swami. So anyway, we arrived at Glastonbury, we were walking down the field and it started to rain. I thought, oh no. Anyway, and then the next day the sun came out and it was fantastic. And it was a really good week, right? And then on the Saturday, it was a Friday night, and my Guru Maharaj says, I have to leave, I'm going somewhere else. So I want you to stay. Because they're short of kirtaniers, I want you to stay. So I thought, okay, Maharaj, I'll stay. So and help them out with the kirtans. So anyway, they asked me to go and do a kirtan. So I went up to the mic, started to sing, and this voice came out. I thought, oh, it doesn't sound like me. This voice is not me, you know, I don't know who it is. And the devotees all noticed. And nice. You could perceive that Krishna was behind everything.
Okay.
And obviously what was happening was potent. And another aspect of it was I was chanting, and I thought it was only about 20 minutes, but I was chanting for about a few hours.
Wow.
But I didn't realise. And then they said, get off, man. Like that, I was just saying. And then, and it was really special.
Okay. So your point is that...
But that all comes from the sadhana, having a goal.
So sadhana makes you, you're saying, like, to some degree, makes you pure. It increases your spiritual sort of potency. And then when you do it, it can have an effect on people.
It was mercy. You got mercy, obviously.
You got mercy, okay.
But the point is, if you have a goal, it gives you enthusiasm. And I think Ayendra said that there should be non-difference.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Vishwambhu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I think it's a good question, and I think Maharaji already knows the answer for the question. But however, I'll give him my few pennies contribution. It's an interesting topic because I heard many years ago, Tamal Krishna, I had a similar kind of query. And I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, something similar on the same line, you know, preparing the consciousness before going out on book distribution. And he stopped me, he said, you know, sadhana means preparation. You prepare yourself for devotional service, and it's non-different from devotional service. And he quoted the Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, Gona Bhakti. If you read, is in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, you know, the all of his life was preparation. Gona Bhakti means service to your body, to prepare yourself before, like a shower. You get up early, take shower like pujari, to prepare and put on tilak, to prepare yourself to cook for Krishna, worship Krishna, or like. And then he said, just like, you know, day before you're thinking of dusting up your bag, you know, from to fill it up with the books and prepare yourself, your consciousness, to go out on books tomorrow. That's Gona Bhakti. It's like golden stairs. They take you to a gold room. Mm. So it's no difference, really. And like you said correctly, they go hand to hand. It's preparation for purify yourself, because anything that purifies you is a devotional service. But you have to just understand who you're doing it for. You know, tapasya, like you prepared for a nice class. For who? To satisfy Krishna and to inspire us. So that's preparation. It's devotional service.
Thank you. Thank
Unless
you, Vishwamba.
Makes sense.
Thank you. I think Prabhuji had a point, and then Mataji.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a point. You were talking about a distinction between...
maybe if you use the mic, because
sadhana
online...
Sadhana service, you're talking about a distinction between sadhana service. So I was just going to say, when we're doing our sadhana, we're chanting around, we're praying service.
Yeah.
It's kind of honest and a difference.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Mataji, if you take the mic, because then people online can hear you.
There is a verse that is so... should become all our hearts, and yavi lashitasanya yana kamadi unamabhita anukulenya
Krishna
anushilanam silanam
bhaktirutam.
Every activity that we do with our mind, every single activity, if we perform service, devotional service, without taking it internally, it is seva. To become sadhana, it has to be done with sincere and utter faith and taken with all our hearts internally as well as externally, using our mind and our intelligence, which you explained so well today, at every single moment where our activities are uninterrupted by our minds, our Yan or anything like that. It's done with love from the heart. So with all these factors, sincere faith, taking, doing, performing service, who for? For the senses of our Lord, for our Supreme Lord, for our Guru. First of all, those activities have to be performed like that. That becomes sadhana. And sadhana is done in association as much as possible with devotees. And we have to be very intelligent on how we plan that. And that we can find ourselves, if we do not take it internally, you can find yourself alone in a hospital bed about to die. And you haven't got a devotee around you. How does one perform sadhana? Because they've practiced it their whole life. Anyavilasitasanyam. Every devotee should learn this verse, inside out, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and take it as our life force. And take our hearts and use it in the right way. Don't just, doing service. We had kirtans at the weekend. And no matter how old we are, or how maybe famous we have a name attached to us, the Hare Krishna mantra is the most important thing that links us to everything and opens the gateway to Krishna Bhakti. In this temple, our kirtans are glorious. The Hare Krishna mantra is there, is wonderful. But if a kirtaniya comes with so much melodious melodies that they add an extra Krishna or Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, we should know that that is not accepted by Srila Prabhupada, who taught us that this is not acceptable, and we should humbly go to the kirtaniya afterwards and say, Prabhu, I could not feel that Hare Krishna mantra as I know it. And nobody will reject that, because at every moment we're learning, and that is part of our sadhana, that we are humble enough to accept, even from people who have just walked into the movement, because they can be our peers also. So please, thank you so much. You opened the doorway. I just wanted to say about the topsoil.
Yeah.
We have Radha Krishnadath, a professor of agriculture, who has created, no, he created it from Howard, from within the parameters that he understands, that was taken from the Vedas, how to create a fertilizer that can bring topsoil.
Yeah.
And he's being hailed all over the country, and he has a podcast.
Yeah.
And we should take note of that, because our Bhumi, our planet, is very important for us to perform sadhana, to have Krishna Bhakti as our goal at every moment, to please the senses of Radha and Krishna, and to please the senses of our Guru. By doing that, we please every living entity on the planet. Thank you.
Thank you
for a wonderful question. You opened the doorway for many things to think about.
Thank you so much. Did you have a comment or something?
Hare Krishna. I'm just a little bit, not confused, but because I always thought that, chanting Hare Krishna as a sadhana is a service, in the sense that Krishna likes his names being chanted. So I understood it as it is a preparation for your service, but also isn't chanting in itself a service, because you're chanting Krishna's names, and isn't that the highest?
Yeah, it's a service, definitely. But I think when we say the word service specifically, we refer to doing something externally that benefits other people as well, that benefits the community, that benefits the world, something like that. So chanting Hare Krishna, yes, you could say, yes, it ultimately benefits everybody, including you and the whole world. But when service means you're actively trying to do that. That's my understanding. I think they're both slightly different, but they're both very, very important, just as important. But they're also slightly different, that's my understanding. So, yeah. I think maybe we can speak over breakfast, because we're kind of a little bit late already. But thank you all so much for joining us today. Hare Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.